Great to be here this morning. I looked in the Tribune on, what was it, Saturday morning, and I saw that we might have to have a little grief counseling session. Apparently, two Plainfield High School teams played each other over the weekend. So is anyone smarting from a loss still? Is it North beat South or South beat North? Which is... Well, I'll be available afterwards in the foyer if you want to talk about that and work through that. But it's good to be here, and thank you for inviting me once again. I hope we have a meaningful time together as we look at God's Word. We're going to look at God's Word as it comes to us through his apostle James. And we're going to look at James 1. I think you'll have it on your screen just a bit. It's about listening and doing. James is known for his practical advice to Christians. And hopefully what you receive this morning is in that same spirit, practical advice for the person of God. James 1, and I'll start at verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is my mirror, in case you can see. There's looking in the mirror, and there's looking in the mirror, isn't there? Here's one way to look in the mirror. Here's another way to look in the mirror. A little dry skin there. Use a little moisturizing lotion. I got some more dry skin up here, and that's a little scaly. What if that's sun damage? Might want to go see the dermatologist about that and make an appointment there. Oh, what's that? Oh, yeah. Could use a little trim there on my eyebrows. Get that little scissors of my wife out and snip, 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 right? And why are my eyes so red? Oh, I could use some Visine. It must be the time of year my contacts get dry. And as I look at my eyes, I see I've got a little bit of a droopy eyelid there. I wonder if my plastic surgeon could do something about that. Just tighten it up just a little bit. Not much. Just tighten it up just a little bit. Boy, looking in the mirror, I see more now. I see I got a little tooth there on the bottom row there that it could just move just a little bit. I have to call my orthodontist tomorrow and find out what's going on with that. Maybe he could help me there. Yeah. And, you know, I don't look in the mirror that often, but now that I look, wow, is my hair receding? Man, oh, man, it's unbelievable. I'm going to call Bosley Hair Replacement tomorrow. And bet they can do something about it, yeah? Two ways to look in the mirror. Two very different ways to look in the mirror. One way changes nothing. The other way changes quite a bit. I guess that's the point of my little exercise here. Why look in the mirror if you're not going to do anything about it? Why look in the mirror if you're not seeking some sort of change about what you see? And that's essentially the message of the Apostle James here and what he wrote to the churches in the first century A.D. The Apostle James, what we read today, the Apostle James is getting at this very point. In his letter to these Christians, he's telling them that he believes that when you look in the mirror, you should look with change in mind. You should look in order to do something about what you see. For this reason, you should look. Not just to have a glance and then walk away. That's good advice, yeah. But you might ask yourself now, what in the world does this have to do with church, with Christianity, with my faith? This is not a cosmetology school here, is it? No, it's not that at all. So why talk about looking in mirrors this morning? Well, as we look a little bit closer at what James is saying, we understand that he's not talking about personal grooming. What he's talking about is God and his requirements and his expectations. About God's expectations for his people, for you people, for me, and for how we live. So I guess the question asked this morning is, what exactly then is James getting at? What is James getting at when he talks about this mirror, this guy looking into this mirror, and who does nothing? What's so significant about that? Well, what's significant about that is the way this guy acted, the one who just glanced, the way he acted is pretty similar to how a lot of people, maybe even some of you, I know it's the way I act sometimes, but what James is saying is this is significant because it is the way we all act when it comes to our interaction with the Word of God. Let me explain. When we encounter the Word of God, right? When we encounter the will of God, when we read the Bible, or when we hear a sermon, or we're in a small group discussion where we're looking at God's Word, we're in a sense looking into a mirror. We're looking into a mirror. How? Well, when we encounter the Word of God, we see ourselves better. We get a better picture of who we are and what we're all about. You say, well, how does that work? Don't understand, Pastor. Well, when you look into the mirror of God's Word, this mirror, you begin to better understand God's will for your life. You begin to better understand His standards, His expectations, His requirements, His way of doing things. And this understanding of God's way and of God leads us then to understand something better about ourselves. We get a much better sense of who we are, or at least who we should be. That is, of course, if we don't just have a quick glance and then walk away like this guy did, forgetting what we've just seen. Remember the first guy, the guy over here. We can understand his actions as that first man. He encounters the Word of God. He listens to the Word of God. He hears the Word of God. But then he walks away and he forgets about it. He was forgetting about it. He had no sooner looked and then he was gone. That was the guy that James is describing first. After glancing in the mirror, he figures he's good to go. He figures he's good to go with God. He figures he's good to go with the people around him. But he wasn't he? Verse 22 says, he's deceiving himself. He's lying to himself. He doesn't actually know what he looks like. He's actually not good. He's not good with God, and he's not good with the people around him. He's fooling himself. What this guy obviously needs is a much longer and much harder look into that mirror. And then he needs to do something about what he sees. And while let's face it, that's the way it is for a lot of us, isn't it? I know that's the way it is for me. We encounter something in God's Word. We encounter something in a Bible study, again, something maybe we're reading in the Bible. We encounter it, there's this glance in the mirror, but then that's it. That's it. Nothing sticks. Nothing changes. And for a variety of reasons. For some of us, just because we don't take the time to reflect on or think about what we've just seen or heard. Our glances in the mirror are just too quick. They're too quick to produce any kind of convicting need for change. But that's to be expected, really. My guess is that if we looked, let's say, take it to a home example. If we looked in the mirror for 1.5 seconds every day, like we sometimes do with the Bible, if we looked in the mirror 1.5 seconds every day, do you think we would have this convicting need that we needed to comb our hair or wash our face or brush our teeth? No! Ask any 6-year-old boy about this, right? It doesn't occur to us. It's too quick. So it's the same for those of us who merely glance at the mirror of God's Word. We'll never be struck by the need to change. The image that we get of ourselves will just be too fleeting. It will be too fleeting to be of any use to us. We'll continue just to imagine what we look like. We'll deceive ourselves. We won't actually know what we look like, and therefore, we're just never going to change. For others of us, though, it's not so much the length that's the problem, it's the frequency that's the problem. Truth be told, we just don't get in front of the mirror of God's Word that often. Hearing the Bible explained, reading it for ourselves, it's just not that big a part of our lives. Oh, it's a part, but it's just not that big of a part. And here's the problem with that. If we're never in front of the mirror, how can we possibly know what we look like? If we lived without mirrors in our house, we wouldn't know what we look like. We don't. So in this case, too, we just imagine what we look like. We deceive ourselves. We don't really have a clue. And so we don't change. For others, though, and this is pastors especially, okay, just in case you think I'm bawling you out, and I'm going to bawl myself out. For others, though, it's the constant application of makeup that is the problem. Now, before you kick me out of here, just listen to me, all right? Don't kick me out yet. Oh, we spend time in front of the mirror, especially pastors. We spend time in front of the mirror more than anyone. We're always in front of the mirror. But we can't see the bags and the sags, the blemishes, the deformities. We can't see any of these things because we've put layers and layers. Am I doing this right? Layers and layers of prettifying makeup on. We layer our lives with all sorts of religious behaviors and religious practices that make us feel so pretty or handsome. They make us feel like we conform to the image of God. The makeup of our religious deeds obscures, though, what actually lies beneath. It obscures what lies beneath. We, too, don't really know what we look like. We deceive ourselves, and we, too, don't change. Well, that's all a bit depressing. I see everyone's like this right now. Gee, heavy stuff. But of course, there is another way, and this is what James talks about in verse 25. The Apostle James says, this other man, he looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, and he continues to do it, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it. He does it. He doesn't look and forget. He looks and does. And this is clearly what James wants his readers to do as well, what he wants us to do as well. He wants those readers to look, not quickly, not casually, not distractedly, but he wants them to look intently into that mirror. To really take into account the bags and the sags and the blemishes and the imperfections. James wants them to look into that mirror, see all that stuff, and then change. To change in conformity with what he calls the perfect law that gives freedom. And what is this perfect law that gives freedom? Well, it's clearly the will of God. The will of God is expressed, well, in his word, the Bible, and especially is found in the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. It's a way of living in which God himself instructed his people throughout the years, throughout the centuries. And it's the way of living that Jesus himself spoke of and demonstrated himself. And this, folks, is a different way of living. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's a different way of living. Quite a different way that naturally comes to us. It's a way of living that the Apostle James says gives us freedom. Freedom. Now, needless to say, perhaps, this is not the kind of freedom that our culture celebrates. Our American culture defines freedom as doing and getting whatever we want, whenever we want it, however we want it, wherever we want it. That's the American ideal of freedom. But that's not God's idea of freedom. God's idea of freedom is quite the opposite of this, actually. It's quite the opposite. It's freedom from the tyranny, from the slavery of these self-centered desires. It's freedom from me at the center of the universe. It's freedom from desiring and getting more for myself. It's freedom from always having things our way and doing things our way. It's freedom from always being right and always being number one. In short, it's freedom from the tyranny or the slavery of our old selves and those old selves which just existed for self alone. And it's entry into a life in which we exist for God and for others. So what does this kind of life look like? Well, James describes it both before and after the paragraph we just dealt with. Before speaking of this man who looks in the mirror, James describes a way of life in which God's people should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And if you think about it, this totally fits with the theme of freedom, doesn't it? Is there anything more enslaving than anger? Is there anything more enslaving than anger? Think about acting the opposite of what James has just described. Think about when we're slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to get angry. Think about that. When we're angry, we can't but help do sinful things, stupid things, hurtful things. Confession time. How many of you have sent your best emails? The emails you've been most proud of when you've been angry? Well, I didn't see too many hands. Anger so easily dictates our actions. It controls us. It enslaves us. And God knows this. God knows that angers, humans can't handle anger constructively. Even if it's anger for a justifiable purpose. God knows that even if our anger is on account of some crime, some injustice, some injury, it might get the best of us. And God doesn't want our anger to get the best of us. God knows that when we're angry, we screw up. So he tells us not to get angry in James 1 here, so that we can live the righteous lives that he wants us to live. And he goes on to say this. He also wants us to get rid of issues in our lives that prevent us from living out this freedom. James says in the next verse, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. It's hard to see in the English translation, but the Apostle James here is making an analogy to soiled clothing, to soiled clothing. The analogy here is to shedding those filthy, dirty clothes. And those filthy, dirty clothes, they got that way because we rubbed against something during the day, or we kneeled in it, or we sat by it. So when we're living our lives in this world, when we're out in the big bad world, its values, its priorities, its morals, its way of doing things, all these things rub off on us. And they start to make us filthy, don't they? We go to work or we go to school on a Monday morning, clean, neat, nice, all that good stuff. But then we find out at the end of the day, we've gotten a bit dirty, haven't we? A little bit. Filthy. The text messages we receive, the emails we've read, the words we've heard, the behaviors we've witnessed, they've rubbed off on us more than we realize. By the end of the day, we find ourselves saying and thinking and texting and writing the same kind of stuff that we encountered in our day. And we don't think anything of it. By the end of the day, it seems normal to us. Our contact with society has not left our moral fiber tied white. Most of you are probably too young to know what that is, but it hasn't left our moral fiber tied white. It's left our moral fiber mud brown. Mud brown. So what James is saying here, when this starts to happen, we need to shed the filthy clothing. Take it off. We need to take off that filthy clothing of our stained wills and humbly accept the Word of God that's been planted in us. The Word of God has to dictate how we think, what we say, what we do, not the society we live in. Look at the mirror. Look at the mirror of God's Word if you want to figure out how you need to live, not the world around you. Let me close with a warning, just as James closes with a warning. He goes on to tell the churches this. He says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, certainly James was concerned here about controlling the tongue. Certainly God is concerned about our controlling of our tongues. But what he says here has a wider meaning. It's applicable than more than just to the tongue. And this wider warning is this. If our lives, especially the lives we live in relation to other people, if our lives don't resemble the type of lives that God wants from us, then all those outward acts of religion we practice, coming to church and praying and reading the Bible and giving money and the offering plate and going to a small group meeting, all those things, in this case, are worthless. They're worthless because they don't arise from a changed heart. I'm not saying they're worthless. I'm just saying if they don't arise from a changed heart, they don't count. The way to tell whether someone has a changed heart is not necessarily if they practice all the externals of the Christian religion. A lot of the externals, let's face it, are pretty easy. The way to tell if someone has a changed heart is if they demonstrate in their lives that they have died to the love of self and have started living for the love of God and for the love of others. This is ultimately what God is after. It's no wonder then that James says that the religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. He says this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted from the world. Keeping oneself from being polluted from the world. I think we just spoke of that. We just talked about that with reference to shedding the filth that we accumulate on us every day. The stuff contrary to God's will and picked up every day in our lives. That's the stuff we got rid of, and that's how we keep being polluted from the world. But there's something else, he said, is true religion. There's something else that constitutes true following of God, and that's this. Caring for people who can't care for themselves. In the Bible times, it was the widows and the orphans. That's why James mentions the widows and the orphans. So caring for people who can't care for themselves. Caring for people also from whom we receive no benefit, no payback. Again, in Bible times, this was the widows and orphans. They couldn't give you anything back in return for what you did for them. So you see, these instances of caring for others, what they represent are selfless acts of charity. They're selfless acts of charity. They're acts of selfless love. This is the type of God of love that God expects from us. And why? Because this is the kind of love He has shown us. This type of love perfectly demonstrates the love that God had for us when He made us His own. We didn't deserve it. There was nothing we could give Him in return, right? What does God need from us? His love was simply a gift. It was simply a gift, as our love should be for others. So our selfless love then, the selfless love that we're supposed to show others, this stems or arises from God's selfless love for us. And how did He show this? Well, you all know the story. Jesus came down to earth, died on the cross, rose again. We love because He first loved us. Our love is a response to His love. I started out this morning with a mirror. And after looking intently into this mirror, I resolved to do something about it. Call the orthodontist and call the plastic surgeon. This morning, this month, this year, I encourage you all to do the same. Look into the mirror, not this mirror. Look into this mirror. Look into this mirror. Look hard into this mirror. Look long into this mirror. Look intently into this mirror. Consider your blemishes. Contemplate the deficiencies, the imperfections. But don't stop there. Don't stop there and just walk away then. Don't just walk away and forget what you've seen. Do something about what you've seen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, do. Do. Not to earn favor with God. That's not what this is all about. This is not about earning favor with God. We do in order to witness. Witness to the great love, the selfless love that God has shown us in Christ Jesus, His Son. That's why we do. Pray with me, if you would. Father, we thank You for Your Apostle James and his message today. Help us to respond in obedience and love to what You've shown us in Your Word. Through Your Holy Spirit, Lord, work in our hearts so that we have the power. We can't do it on our own. Work through Your Holy Spirit so that we have the power to be the type of people You want us to be. We ask this all in Jesus' name.